I don't know if you've noticed, but not everyone in our world agrees with everyone else. And I don't know if you've noticed, but those disagreements, when expressed in certain ways, can expose and increase tension. In physics, tension is defined as a pulling or stretching force on an object from either end. And that's what we're going to talk about and try to be honest about today on the Covenant Weekly Podcast, Episode 6, Tension. Most of us are very aware of tension in our world today. People are being pulled in different directions by different forces, and that's leading many people to react in ways that are harmful and subsequently increases tension on others. Then those others, in their state of tension, likewise react and further increase tension on still other people. Quickly, it can become a cycle of increasing tension, or perhaps efforts to try to eliminate any possible attention through escape. I got to thinking about this in light of the Ontario government's announcement yesterday that gathering restrictions would be eliminated 2 weeks earlier than had previously announced. Due to radically different perspectives on the various restrictions, there has always been a measure of tension when any group, whether it be a business, a church, or a hospital, has tried to discern a way forward during this time. As a church leader, I am very aware of the different perspectives among those who call Covenant Church their family. Due to different restrictions, however, those strongly differing perspectives have largely been separated. People haven't been interacting with each other, especially not in person. We've gradually been getting closer to times when those with different perspectives on the vaccine and on restrictions and on the different issues will likely be in closer proximity with each other in a church setting. We've been gradually getting closer to times when those who want to hug are in the same spaces with those who are very nervous about getting too close to others. We've been gradually getting closer to times when those with different perspectives on what freedom means and the implications of that will be planning on sitting in the same space on Sunday mornings. And with even less time to process all of our differences before coming together, that actually adds to the tensions. As one who is a part of a group that's working to take a variety of perspectives into account, but can only make one decision, the tensions that we're aware of weigh heavily. There's a huge part of me that wishes that the tension didn't exist and that we could just all be on the same page. But as I've been thinking about that possibility, I'm realizing how terrible that would actually be. You see, those who want all tensions to be eliminated are, in fact, subtly thinking, I just want everyone to agree with me. Well, they certainly aren't thinking, I want the tension to be eliminated, so I want to change my mind and do what everyone else wants. No, when we want there to be no tension, we want people to be on the same page as we are. That's just human nature. But if someone is in a space where everyone agrees with them, there are likely one of three things at play, or a combination of these three things. Either it's a cult-like context where people are simply brainwashed into all thinking and believing the same thing. It's a private club where people are only welcome if they agree with everything. Or it's a dictatorship where people may have different perspectives, but it's not safe and they're afraid to express their perspective. Those are the kinds of places where everyone agrees or appears to agree on everything. Sadly, it seems that those are exactly the kinds of places people want these days. When I hear people say things like, I'm not going to go to a store unless they do things my way, they're functionally excluding someone from their club. When someone is so committed to their view that they respond to that person or about that person who disagrees with them with hate-filled rhetoric, they are showing signs of cult-like behavior. When someone is so loud about their perspective that they aggressively shut down any engagement, they're trying to create a kind of dictatorship where they're in control. I believe each of these efforts is done to try to relieve tension. I totally understand that. In that sense, they're reasonable responses because there's so much tension in our world. And when we face it, we naturally want to try to do something about it. I see two challenges to these approaches, however. The first is that I don't think they actually relieve any tension. In fact, they seem to only increase it. There are many who, for example, have taken one perspective on an issue, and as such, they've kind of joined a club or found a place of belonging. But then as they've engaged with other ideas, they've had questions form in their mind. But it's not safe for them in their club to ask those questions, because they don't want to face what others who've asked those questions have faced, whether it be attacks or abuse or alienation. And then internally, tension increases. Tension also increases when we start looking for, you know, who is in and who is out, and we start seeing ourselves as the judges of others. We face tension in trying to judge or critique others. That increased tension within ourselves can lead us to doubling down on our attitudes and behaviors, and that can actually quickly lead to a spiral of increasing tensions that drive behavior, and it puts remarkable tensions on others who are trying to navigate being around us. Rather than actually relieving tension, these ways of responding actually increase tension in harmful ways in ourselves and in others. And that alludes to the second challenge to these approaches to relieving tension. It sees tension as almost exclusively bad or harmful, something that we need to get rid of or alleviate, when in fact tension is necessary and good for our human thriving. In nature, tension is essential. The Earth is sustained between the tension of spinning out of control into space and the gravitational pull towards the sun. Flowers are stretched between reaching toward the sun and pushing down roots. Music is made through appropriate tension on instrument strings. Tension helps people enjoy bungee jumping and parachuting and trampolining and water skiing. For people and people groups have for millennia struggled with the tensions that emerge between generations and different ethnic groups and different political perspectives and different philosophies and different religious groups. And as I write this, I can't think of a time when working to eliminate those tensions through coercion or control or manipulation has done anything other than increase tensions long term. If I'm missing something in history, please let me know. But it seems to me that seeking to either ignore or eliminate tension seems to always have a detrimental effect on people and on the world. And long term, it only increases tension. Without tension, much that is beautiful and right and progressive and stabilizing and true about the world gets lost. We live, for example, between the tension of eating well and not eating too much. The tension between exercising and staying fit and resting. Listening and speaking, working and playing. Moving ahead and staying grounded. Being together and finding solitude. We are at our healthiest when we acknowledge the tension and seek to move forward, keeping it somewhat in balance. As a guitar player, I think about the strings on my guitar. If I relax the tension, the strings are at best way out of tune, and at worst make no musical sound at all. If I increase the tension, they are at best way out of tune, and at worst they snap. There's an optimal range of tension for each string depending on what is being played. As a church, it does us no good if we just get rid of tension. As individual Jesus followers, it really doesn't do us any good to try and find a place where there is no tension. We need each other and to actively, lovingly engage with each other in the midst of the tensions if we're going to find a healthy way forward. Let me suggest three things that might help us in finding a way to move through the tension in a healthy way. Number one, accept that there will probably, in fact, almost certainly, be things that happen that you wish were different. This is true as it relates to moving through a pandemic. It's true as it relates to musical choices. It's true as it relates to what speakers say and even who the speakers are. It's true as it relates to how kids ministry runs. It's true about virtually everything in a church, and it's true for every one of us that we will face things that happen that we wish were different. We need to accept that that is going to be the case. And that's going to cause tension at times, but that's not bad. The second thing is recognize the things that cause tension in us are likely exactly what helps someone else, what somebody else needs. And the things that we love and appreciate and like just the way they are likely cause tension in someone else. Again, this is true of a whole wide variety of things. This is a healthy application of the encouragement we read in Philippians 2, 3 to 4, where it says, "Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others." That's this being aware that, this thing that's kind of bugging me, that's causing tension in me, that's actually good for others. And so I can live with this tension for their good. So we need to accept that there's going to be things that we wish were different. Recognize that what we wish was different is actually probably really good for someone else. And then the third thing is embrace those areas of tension as opportunities to practice love. We like love as an idea. We like love as a concept, but a concept and idea is not love. Love, it's played out in real life. What specifically does that kind of love look like? 1 Corinthians gives us some words that most of us have heard. They're there for us to think about and to seek to practice. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. How different would navigating our areas of tension be if that kind of love marked our interactions? And that question could be asked for the church, it could be asked for our society, it could be asked for our homes, it could be asked for our schools, it could be asked about our workplaces. How different would navigating our areas of tension be if that kind of love marked our interactions? Now, I could get into a side trail about when is it time to disengage from people who are not healthy? When's it time to unfollow that friend on Facebook? When's it time to move to another church community? When is it time to put our foot down and say no more? But that would be a much longer podcast. Let me just say, there are times when doing so might be the most loving and healthiest thing we can do for ourselves and for others. But even then, it should be done in a way that is marked by love. As we move forward together as a church beyond this pandemic and beyond that, my desire is not that we would eliminate tensions, because tensions are a reality when different people with different perspectives and attitudes, different places on the journey, are in community together. My desire is that we would live in those tensions and even embrace them as followers of Jesus, committed to the common goal of love. That's not easy. In fact, at any given moment, embracing tension and choosing love might be the hardest thing to do. Manipulation, exclusion, control, they're easier in the short term. In the long term, however, they're devastating for our well-being and for our participation in the way of Jesus. So let's try to embrace these areas of tension, and more importantly, embrace each other with love as we work through them. I would ask that you would pray for our board as we meet tonight. We're finalizing things for our annual meeting on March 6th at 3 p.m. And we hope and pray that you'll join us for that meeting either in person or online. Watch our website and social media for upcoming events and opportunities to gather. And as you go through this week and seek to navigate the various tension that you are experiencing, I offer you this prayer from Philippians 4. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God bless everyone. Peace be with you.